Is.
Good morning.
It's really great to have you here on the show this morning.
No, it's good to be able to talk about the Medibank legislation.
100%. So in this case, if the federal government's attempt to overturn legislation and cut Medibank is successful, will refugees on offshore detention camps like Nauru and Manus Island be provided similar medical treatment in these detention camps?
Look, it would be nice to think that would be the case, but unfortunately the experience over the last 6 years has shown that medical care in these offshore detention sites has been appalling. There's been very little, like, who was there before? Médecins Sans Frontières were there, and they were ordered to leave because they were, like, digging a bit too deep into the poor conditions there. So for these men and women, mostly men at this stage, to get medical care for their serious illnesses, they need to come to Australia. And this is where the Medibank legislation has been so important. So far, only about 135 people have actually been transferred. And even though Peter Dutton was saying this would open the floodgates, it hasn't opened the floodgates. About 300 people have been declared as valid, but they haven't yet had the opportunity to come to Australia.
When it does come to providing medical aid to asylum seekers for those who are coming here, how do Australia's policies around Medicaid compare to, say, other countries like America or the UK or even those in Europe?
Well, I'm not really aware of the policies in those countries, I have to be honest. I can't comment too much on what happens in those countries. But most of those countries do not have the offshore detention process that we have, where we delegate the responsibility for people who seek asylum, which is entirely legal, let me say, to other sites. And we pay them a huge amount of money to look after people who should be our responsibility because they come to us seeking assistance. If you look at Europe and the US, people who make it into those countries are not sent into offshore detention arrangements like we have.
And the federal government are arguing against the legislation that Medibank is posing significant immigration and security threats to Australia, but you would argue otherwise. Why is that not the case?
Well, because the independent panel that assesses these applications, they make recommendations based on the health issues that these people face. However, the minister has the final say in terms of security. If there are any criminal charges these people face, they're not eligible to come. If the minister decides that they don't have the appropriate security clearance, their applications are not accepted. So at the end of the day, the minister still has the final say. So he's able to protect us from people he regards as being potential terrorists. But most people, of the 341 applications for transfer, 293 have been seen as valid. So there's only 50 people who the minister has deemed, no, they do not pass the test that he would regard as acceptable.
There are many that are unhappy with the minister's actions or the policy surrounding this. And I understand that recently there was an organised overnight vigil outside Parliament House in Canberra over last weekend. Could you walk us through a little about what happened at that vigil?
Okay. Well, Rural Australians for Refugees is a body that represents about 90 community groups across the country who are outraged about our government's policies in relation to offshore detention and treatment of refugees and asylum seekers onshore as well. So we thought, you know, we want to get out there in front of Parliament. We don't want to wave flags and have loud speeches and all of that. But we want to get out there in front of the senators in particular who were sitting that week and say to them, we are the quiet Australians. We are people from the rural communities who don't, you know, we're not your inner city people that the government has such delight at characterising as being a particular minority. We are people from rural and regional Australia. And so we thought, you know what, we're just going to sit outside Parliament House overnight. We had about 70 of us to start with, and then about 30 of us slept overnight on the lawns in front of Parliament House. And we were there in the morning when the senators were driving into to work at Parliament House.
I'm curious to know what the response has been within Parliament and outside, I guess, on those streets as those senators were rocking up that morning.
Hard to tell. What we do know is that rallies were held in the capital cities on Saturday of that weekend, about saving the Medibac legislation as well. And we do know that on Monday morning, a flight from Papua New Guinea with 16 people on it finally took off from Port Moresby to come to Australia. Now, that flight, those people had been delayed several times. The flights had been cancelled several times. So we were delighted that those 16 men from Papua New Guinea did make it on the flight to Australia. And we took a small amount of satisfaction from that.
It's always the small wins, which are always the best ones, I always find.
Well, we had the vigil because we thought of that course. The Medibac legislation would come before the Senate that
yeah.
week. But as Christina Keneally came out to speak to us, she said, no, it is not listed on the papers for this week. So we just have to wonder whether the government thinks it doesn't have the numbers to pass the legislation, which is what we're hoping.
I hope so.